Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, the messenger has come to you with the truth from your Lord. Which truth has the messenger brought? What is it that the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought? The Quran. But is it just the Quran that he conveyed? No, he also taught people how to follow the Quran. In the Quran, Allah tells us, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. But then how do you learn? Where do you learn the method of prayer? Does it say anywhere in the Quran? When you pray the salah, then you say Allahu Akbar first, and then you say this tasbih, and then you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, and then Quran, and then Rukur, and then these many rak'at for this salah. Are the details there? No. Then where are they? In the sunnah. So, what do we learn here? That, O mankind, the messenger has come to you with the truth from your Lord. So everything that the messenger has brought, every teaching, every command that he is giving you, what is it? It is from Allah. It is not from his own whims. So believe. Believe in what? All that the messenger has brought. The Quran and the Sunnah. That is better for you. But if you disbelieve, then indeed to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. And ever is Allah knowing and wise. Ya أَهْلَ الكتاب لا تغلو في دينكم ولا تقولوا على الله إلا الحق. O people of the scripture, do not commit excess. Do not commit غلو in your religion. Or say about Allah anything except the truth. Keep away from ghulu. Do not commit ghulu. What is ghulu? Ghulu is to commit excess. To take something beyond its proper limit. To take something higher and above. Further than it should be. Because remember that each thing has its status. Each thing has its own unique level. And taking it beyond that would be ghulu. Like for example, everything is what? Allah's creation. Who is the only Khaliq? Allah is the only Khaliq. Which means that everything else is His makhluq. And when they are His makhluq, it means that they are His servants. Including the angels, including the prophets. They are all His servants. Now the status of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasulullah, is what? What does Allah call him in the Quran? Abd. He is His servant. So if in love and praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, someone exalts the status of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam from that of the servant to a master and says that only if he allows can a person go to paradise, only if he takes someone to paradise then that person can go, then this would be what? Ghulu. Allah alone hears and sees everything at all times. He is Samir and Basir. To say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hears us and sees us, hears our dua. How can he hear our dua? He does not hear our dua. When we send salat upon him, it is conveyed to him. Why is it conveyed to him? Because he cannot hear directly from our mouths. Who can? Only Allah can. So saying that he hears us when we talk to him, he hears us when we make dua for him, or that he can grant us our wishes, he can help us at times of hardship, this would be what? Committing ghulu. Because a servant is being taken from the status of servitude to the status of God. Of uluhiyya. And this would be ghulu. So Allah is telling the people of the scripture, the Jews and the Christians, that do not commit excess in your religion. You see, we must avoid both types of extremes. One is to take something beyond its proper limit. And the other is to take it below its correct status. So what happens? Either people go in one extreme or they go in the other extreme. Either they overpraise the Prophet ﷺ to the point that they exalt him to the status of Allah, or they disrespect him. They disrespect him and say that, oh, if the Prophet ﷺ said something, so what? He's only a human being. We don't need to follow him. We don't need to pay attention to what he said. He was only a human being. Yes, he is a human being. But he did not speak out of his own desire. If he gave a command, if he ordered us to do something, then we must follow it. And especially with respect to the false belief of the Nasara, Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. Indeed, the Masih, Isa ibn Maryam, who was he? Rasulullah. He was only the messenger of Allah. وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمُ. He was but a messenger of Allah and His word which He directed to Maryam. And a soul created at a command from Him. So He was creation. So believe in Allah and His messengers. وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَةً And do not say three. إِنْتَهُ Stop. Desist. Stop this trinity. This is not true. Because how many gods are there? Only one God. Isa alayhi salam is who? Not the son of Allah. Not the partner of Allah. No. Who is he? The servant of Allah. The messenger of Allah. So this belief of yours concerning three, the trinity, this is incorrect. Stop it. Why? Because it is better for you. How? When you will give Allah His right. Allah as ilah. And Isa alayhi salam His right. That Isa alayhi salam, the messenger of Allah, then that would be good for you. Because you see, when you give something, it's haqq. When you stay within the proper limits, then that thing remains beautiful. Then it remains beautiful. When you go to any extreme, then what happens? It doesn't remain beautiful anymore. Like for example, think about it, in the creation of Allah also. Us as human beings, if we were on average 100 feet tall, all of us, that the trees were shorter than us. Imagine. Or just imagine if adults were 100 feet tall and babies were born just 1 foot tall. Wouldn't that create hardship? Wouldn't that? It would. So we see that in the creation also, when there is this balance, moderation, that when things are within their proper limits, then there is beauty. And when something is taken out of the proper limits, one way or the other, then it doesn't remain good anymore. Indeed, Allah is but one God. Exalted is He above having a son. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. And sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs. The Prophet ﷺ warned us. He said, beware of ghuluw. Beware of ghuluw. For indeed, those before you were destroyed because of ghuluw in religion. They did ghuluw and therefore they were destroyed. لَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفَ الْمَسِيحَ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَبْدًا لِلَّهِ وَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ Never would the Masih, meaning Isa alayhi salam, disdain to be a servant of Allah, nor would the angels near to Allah. Meaning those servants of Allah, you don't need to exalt their status and do wulu. Why? Because they were happy as servants of Allah. Isa alayhi salam was happy as a servant of Allah. The angels are happy as Allah's servants. You don't need to exalt their status. Why? Because these servants of Allah, they never found servitude to Allah problematic. It never embarrassed them. They never disliked worshipping Allah. So when they were happy as Allah's servants, why do you need to exalt their status? You don't need to do that. You're not doing any favor to them. You're only doing harm to yourself. The Prophet ﷺ said, O people, adhere to taqwa. Let not shaitan find you light and mislead you. I am Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdullah and his messenger. I am Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, meaning I am the son of who? Allah's servant, I'm a human being, and I'm His messenger. By Allah, I do not like that you raise me above my status which Allah the Exalted has given me. Allah has given the Prophet ﷺ a particular status. The Prophet ﷺ said, I do not like that you should exalt me above that. I am happy as a servant of Allah. So, over here also we learn that the Prophets of Allah, Isa alayhi salam, he never felt shy in obeying Allah, in worshipping Allah. Now here we need to think about ourselves. Do I also worship Allah happily? Am I also happy as a servant of Allah? Or are there any commands of Allah that I feel shy to observe? I feel that by doing it, I will become lesser, that my status will decrease. No. The servant of Allah, the true servant of Allah, then what happens to him? He finds greatness in remaining obedient to Allah. He finds izzah in what? In obeying Allah. And the one who is not a true servant to Allah, then he finds izzah in disobeying Allah. And as for those who believed, so whoever disdains his worship and is arrogant, he will gather them to himself altogether. And as for those who believed and did righteous deeds, he will give them in full their rewards and grant them extra from his bounty. But as for those who disdained and were arrogant, he will punish them with a painful punishment, and they will not find for themselves besides Allah any protector or helper. Because before Allah, All are servants, including the prophets and the righteous. So never think servitude to Allah as something that does not befit you. Because the one who thinks like that, on the Day of Judgment, he will find no helper, no one to assist him. Why? Because those whom he thought would help him, who are they in reality? Allah's servants. Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بُرْهَانٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. There has come to you a conclusive proof from your Lord, and we have sent down to you a clear light. A clear light. Are there any times when you find yourself in darkness, in confusion, that you can't even see things clearly? You don't even understand what to do? You're in total indecision? What does Allah say? That there has come to you light. Light is there. Just turn it on. It's like a child who is lying down in a dark room and he's scared. He's worried. He's screaming. He's crying. And what do the parents tell him? You have the night light right next to your bed. Just turn it on. And when you will turn it on, then your fears will depart. So anytime we find ourselves in confusion, in darkness, in gloom, in depression, what is it that we need to bring clarity to our thoughts, to dispel our fears, to take our confusions away? What is it that we need? The Qur'an. Remember, the Qur'an will help you make the best decisions. The best decisions. Zayd bin Arqam narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, O people, I am a human being. I am about to receive a messenger, meaning the angel of death, from my Lord. And I, in response to Allah's call, would bid farewell to you. Meaning I'm not staying here forever. But I am leaving among you two heavy things. One being the book of Allah, in which there is right guidance and light. So hold fast to the book of Allah and adhere to it. And he exhorted the people to hold fast to the book of Allah. And then said, the second are the members of my household. I remind you of your duties to the members of my family. Meaning, do not be unfair to them. Because close to the death of the Prophet ﷺ, many people were coming to the Prophet ﷺ complaining to him about, especially Ali radiallahu anhu, because he had sent him as a leader to Yemen. And so an incident happened where Ali radiallahu anhu told the people to do something, and they got upset with him. So they came complaining to the Prophet ﷺ again and again and again. And this is known as the incident of Ghadir Khum. So when they harassed the Prophet ﷺ to this point, he said, do not bother me concerning my relatives. Likewise, Usama radiallahu anhu, even though he was not related to the Prophet ﷺ, but he was a son of the one who was beloved to the Prophet ﷺ, Zayd bin Haritha, the one whom the Prophet ﷺ called his son. But then Allah later changed that. So when Usama was appointed as the leader of an army, people criticized that. They criticized that, no, why should he be the leader? So the Prophet ﷺ said, be careful about my family. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ. So those people who believe in Allah, وَاعْتَصَمُوا بِهِ, and they hold fast to Him. How is it that we hold fast to Allah? How is it that we hold on to Allah? By holding on to the rope that He has given to us. And what is that rope? What is that connection? It is the book of Allah. That is how you hold on to Allah. You see, someone could be far from you. It's possible that they're in a different country. It's possible that you cannot see them on a regular basis. Perhaps it has been years that you saw them. And perhaps it will be another few years that you will see them next. Or perhaps you cannot see them in this life. Isn't that possible? But are there ways of remaining connected? How do you remain connected? Through communication. There is a link still that can be established between two who are distant. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to hear Him directly. We want to ask Him directly. We want to see Him. We want to be before Him. But that cannot happen in this world. When is it that we can see Allah? On that day. But when is it that when we see Allah, Allah will be happy with us and we will be happy with Him? When there has been a connection between us and Allah. And what is that connection? Through the book of Allah, through the Qur'an. So those who hold on to the book of Allah, He will admit them to mercy from Himself and bounty and guide them to Himself on a straight path. This can only be through the Qur'an. يَسْتَفْتُونَكْ. They request from you a legal ruling. Say, Allah gives you a ruling concerning one having neither descendants nor ascendants. Meaning if a person dies like this, leaving behind neither descendants or ascendants, who's going to inherit from him? If a man dies, leaving no child but only a sister, then she will have half of what he left, and he will inherit from her if she dies and has no child. But if there are two sisters or more, they will have two-thirds of what he left. If there are both brothers and sisters, the male will have the share of two females. Allah makes clear to you His law, lest you go astray. And Allah is knowing of all things. How practical the Qur'an is. It is not just philosophical speech. No. Real life situations. The Qur'an guides us to their solutions. This is a real life situation. That if a man dies, leaving behind no inheritors, meaning from among the ascendants and descendants, no parents and no children, then who will inherit? This is a real problem. So the Qur'an gives the solution to that. So Qur'an is not just theory. It's not just theory. It's not just some book whose words we read and we appreciate them. It's not just for the purpose of mental exercise, for just spiritual upliftment, for just a few tears and that's about it. No, it is a solution to the problems that we face. It's a practical guide, which means that it has to be followed. And with this, we move to Suratul Ma'idah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu awfu bil'uqud. أحلت لكم بهيمة الأنعام إلا ما يتلى عليكم غير محل الصيد وأنتم حرم إن الله يحكم ما يريد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. O you who have believed, fulfill all contracts, all obligations that are imposed on you from Allah and also from people. Whatever commitments, whatever contracts that you have made, fulfill them. Lawful for you are the animals of grazing livestock, except for that which is recited to you in this Qur'an. So when it comes to the matter of halal and haram also, these are obligations that are imposed on us from who? From Allah. So O believers, follow that. Fulfill this obligation. Fulfill this contract that you have made with Allah. And eat only halal. Don't go to that which is haram. Be careful about what you put in your mouth. Because lawful for you are the animals of grazing livestock, except for that which is recited to you in this Qur'an. Hunting, not being permitted while you are in the state of ihram. Indeed, Allah ordains whatever He intends. We see that during worship also, when it comes to the acts of ibadah, there are certain things which are allowed and certain things which are not allowed. In life, in general, we are allowed to do certain things and others we are not allowed to do. When it comes to ibadah also, like for example fasting, there are certain things that we can do. We can sleep, we can shower, we can do wudu, we can put water in our mouths in order to rinse it for doing wudu, right? But there are other things that we cannot do. We cannot eat, we cannot drink. There are some restrictions, some guidelines. When it comes to hajj also, when it comes to umrah also, when a person is in the state of ihram, what do we see? Hunting is not allowed. Why? Why are these rules there? That in salah you cannot look around, you cannot walk around, you cannot talk to each other. In fasting you cannot do this, you cannot do that, but you can do this. Why? Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Indeed, Allah ordains whatever He intends. So none of us have the right to object. Because sometimes we see the benefits of what Allah has legislated, and other times we don't understand why. What's the reason? What's the big deal? We don't understand. So what do we see here? That trust Allah's decision. He legislates whatever He intends. He orders whatever He pleases. In a hadith we learn that there was a man whose name was Abu al-Hakam. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah is al-Hakam. Who is the real judge? Al-Hakam is the real judge. Who is al-Hakam? Allah is al-Hakam. And He has judgment. Meaning He is the one who decides. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, do not violate the rights of Allah. لا تحلوا شعائر الله. The شعائر of Allah, what are they? Meaning the things that Allah has legislated. Do not violate them. Do not violate them. Nor should you violate the sanctity of the sacred month. Nor should you neglect the marking of the sacrificial animals and garlanding them, or violate the safety of those coming to the sacred house seeking bounty from their Lord and His approval. What do we see here? That worship is for who? For Allah. And so it must be as He has legislated. So we are to follow the rules set by Allah. We cannot alter them. But when you come out of the state of ihram, then you may hunt. And do not let the hatred of a people for having obstructed you from the Masjidul Haram lead you to transgress. The indication is to the people of Makkah, who did not allow the Muslims to come into Makkah for the purpose of Umrah. And then the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was made. So Allah says that just because you dislike them for what they did to you, don't let this bias and dislike make you transgress. Generally what happens? When is it that we hurt other people? When we feel that we have been wronged by them. When is it that we insult them? When we are angry at them. Why are we angry? Because they have hurt us. But what does Allah say? That just because you dislike somebody, and that could be for a very genuine reason, still, that should not lead you to transgress. That should not lead you to transgress the limits that Allah has set. And cooperate in righteousness and piety. تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Cooperate in righteousness and piety. So any person, whether friend or foe, a person whom we like or we dislike, whoever he is, whoever she is, when they're doing something good and they need our cooperation, what is it that we should do? Cooperate with them. Even if they should be disbelievers? Yes, even if they should be disbelievers. Why? Because the common goal is what? Righteousness, taqwa, good work. So if they're working towards that, we should also help them with that. We should also cooperate with that. And this is why we see that the Prophet ﷺ, he participated in a pact which was before prophethood, Hilful Fudul. And he used to say that if were I asked to do something like that today also, I would definitely go ahead and participate in that hilf. But do not cooperate in sin and aggression. Meaning if somebody is doing something wrong and they ask you for cooperation in that, do not help them with that. Even if they be our parents? Yes. Even if they be our best friends? Yes. Even if they be another believer? Yes. Do not cooperate in sin and aggression. And fear Allah. Indeed Allah is severe in penalty. The Prophet ﷺ said, there will come after me leaders that will lie. They will lie. And they will oppress, they will commit oppression. Whoever goes to them and calls their lies, truths. Meaning whoever goes to these leaders and when he hears their false statements, he says, yes, yes, you are right. He agrees with them, even though he knows what they're saying is incorrect. And he helps them in injustice, then he is not of me and I am not of him. And such a person shall not come to me at the hawd. Such a person shall not meet the Prophet ﷺ where? At hawd Kawthar. He will be deprived of that delicious water. He will be deprived of that honor, of that blessing. Who? The one who cooperates with others in wrongdoing. The Prophet ﷺ also said, he who helps another in a wrong dispute, meaning there is a dispute and you know that this person is at fault, but still you stand up and defend him and you say that he is innocent. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, such a person will remain in Allah's anger until he stops. Because sometimes what happens, our own child has done something wrong. Our own family member has done something wrong. And we know it. We see the guilt. We know that it is wrong. But yet, what do? We cover their sin. We cover their fault. It doesn't mean that when Allah has concealed somebody's sin, private sin, we should publicize it. No. But what it means is that when somebody's sin has hurt another, somebody's rights are being violated, they're being oppressed, then we should not side with the oppressor. We should not side with them just because they are our friends, just because they are our family members. Why? Because then we will remain in Allah's anger. So here we need to see, am I helping anyone do something wrong? Am I helping any person do something wrong? Maybe a friend who is oppressing her family? Or maybe a sister who is being unfair to her children? Or maybe a husband who is not giving the haqq of his parents? Maybe the children who are disobedient to their teachers? What are we doing? Are we helping anybody do wrong? If we are helping them do wrong, then we are guilty. Then we will bring about Allah's anger. We have to stop. Now we see that sin and transgression, they are unlawful. But at the same time, certain foods are also unlawful. Allah says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ Prohibited to you are dead animals. Meaning something that dies itself, it's unlawful for you to eat. Blood, the flesh of swine, and that which has been dedicated to other than Allah. A halal animal can only be eaten if the name of Allah was mentioned at the time of slaughter. And those animals killed by strangling, or by a violent blow, or by a headlong fall, or by the goring of horns, and those from which a wild animal has eaten is also haram. Except what you are able to slaughter before its death. And those which are sacrificed on stone altars, at a grave, near an idol. And prohibited is that you seek decision through divining arrows. How? That you try to seek the knowledge of the qisma, how? Through divining arrows. Because the Arabs, what they would do is, that whenever they wanted to make a decision, they would take a bunch of arrows, and one would have written on it, if'al, and the other would say, la taf'al. Close eyes, just take one out. Okay, if'al, do it. Close eyes, take one out. Okay, la taf'al. Or they would take two birds, and they would let them free. And then if it went to a particular direction, okay, we should do it. Goes to the other direction, oh, we should not do it. Now this is something that is not correct. Which means that we should not try to find out the news of the unseen, news that is hidden from us, we should not try to find out about it through wrong ways. What are some of the wrong ways? Going to a fortune teller, showing someone your hand, to a palmist. Okay, tell me, these lines of my hand, what do they mean? Will I live a long life? Will I marry a beautiful, a handsome guy? Will I be rich? These are all wrong things. The Prophet ﷺ said, the person who visits a diviner, arraf, and asks him about anything, meaning someone who gives the information of ghaib, his prayers extending to 40 nights will not be accepted. Now many times it happens that when a person feels that sihr has been done on them, someone has affected them with magic, then they go to somebody, trying to find out, tell me who did magic on me? Who did magic on my family? This is also wrong. This is also incorrect. Because how do they know? How can they tell? They're using some incorrect means to find out, and that is shirk. This is something that is forbidden. Likewise, who committed this theft? Who is causing this, you know, these hurdles for us so that my daughter is not getting married or my husband is not getting a job or I am continuously sick? The Prophet ﷺ said, he who goes to a fortune teller and confirms what he says, then he has rejected what was revealed upon the Prophet ﷺ. Because the Prophet ﷺ, what is his message? The main message that Rasulullah brought, Allah is one and all knowledge is with him. So when a person says that, oh, this human being also knows what will happen next year, next week, when I will die and when she will die and who he will marry, this is what? Contradicting the belief that the Prophet ﷺ brought. Contradicting the teachings that Rasulullah ﷺ brought. So, these things are all forbidden. That is grave disobedience. This is sin. And if something like this ever comes up before us, like for example horoscope, or for instance on the television, somebody starts telling about the news of the future, depending on what your star is, then don't take interest in it. Avoid it at all costs, because this is something that can destroy our iman. It can waste our good deeds. It can negate, it can completely cancel out our faith. Allah says, this day, those who disbelieve have despaired of defeating your religion. So fear them not, but fear me. This day, I have perfected for you your religion, and completed my favor upon you, and have approved for you Islam as religion. But whoever is forced by severe hunger, with no inclination to sin, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. This is the beauty of this deen. How flexible it is. That if a person is about to die, and he cannot find anything but haram to eat, then he may eat a little bit just to keep himself alive. Now we see over here that the deen is complete and perfect. Which means that anything that we need to know, we have already been informed about it. And there is no room for addition, for alteration, for deletion in our religion. The Prophet ﷺ said, there is nothing that draws you closer to Jannah except that I have ordered you with it. And there is nothing that draws you closer to hellfire except that I have forbidden you from it. So this means that we don't need to invent anything in the religion. so that we do it, so that we can go to Jannah. No. Likewise, there is nothing in the deen that we need to leave so that we can avoid hellfire. The religion is complete. Therefore, we are not allowed to innovate things in religion at all. Imam Malik said that the one who invents an innovation in Islam, meaning he brings something new in Islam, or there's a sixth prayer, or there's this type of salah, or there's this type of journey that we can also undertake. Just as we go for Umrah, we should also go to visit the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or we should go to visit the grave of so-and-so righteous person. Whoever invents an innovation in Islam and thinks good about it, then he has thought that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been treacherous in conveying the message. That Rasulullah did not convey everything. Because Allah says that today I have completed your religion for you. So what was not in the religion that day is not in the religion today also. If the Prophet ﷺ did not tell us that was part of religion, then we cannot say today that it is part of religion. No, it cannot be part of religion. So we see that the matter of deen has been simplified for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that the deen is complete. You don't need to review it, revise it, change it, correct it. What happens to the things of this world? Do you constantly have to fix them? Yeah? Do you always have to come up with a new strategy to correct your children? All the time. From day to day you have to change. Your lifestyle also you have to improve. So what do we see? That the religion is perfect. They ask you, what has been made lawful to them? What is lawful? Say, lawful for you are all good foods. أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ Everything is halal except for that which has been declared unlawful. Remember this rule. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, لَيْسَ بَعْدَ الْحَلَالِ الطَّيِّبِ إِلَّا الْحَرَامُ الْخَبِيثِ That after what Allah has declared halal and tayyib, after that, beyond that, what is it? Everything is haram. It is khabith. Meaning, what is halal, what is tayyib, that is halal. What Allah has declared halal, that is halal. And what Allah has not declared halal, then what is it? It is impure. Even if the name changes. Because people come up with new names for alcohol. Even if the name has changed. The flavor has changed. Still, it is haram. Lawful for you are all good things. And also the game caught by what you have trained of hunting animals, which you train as Allah has taught you. So eat of what they catch for you. And mention the name of Allah upon it. And fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is swift in account. It does not take Him long to call His servants to account. The Prophet ﷺ said, the first thing of the human body to be putrefied is the stomach. That is what is putrefied first. So he who can eat nothing but good food should do so. Meaning the first thing to get corrupted is what? It's the stomach. It's the first thing that gets corrupted. So what is it that a person must be very, very careful about? The food that he eats. This is the way a person protects the rest of his iman, the rest of his body. This day, all good things have been made lawful. And the food of those who were given the scripture is also lawful for you. And your food is also lawful for them. Why? Because both of you mention the name of Allah when you slaughter animals. And if even a Muslim gives us food, meat, from an animal on which the name of Allah was not mentioned, we cannot eat it. So likewise, if someone from the people of the scripture offers us meat, from an animal on whom Allah's name was not mentioned, would that be halal? No. So the common factor here is what? That the name of Allah is mentioned. Then their food is lawful for us. And lawful in marriage are chaste women from among the believers. And also chaste women from among those who were given the scripture before you. Why only women? Why not men? Because women generally are not as strong-headed as men. In a marriage, generally speaking, who is it that decides we should buy this house? I mean, yes, the husband generally, he has to take the advice of the woman. But generally, if he puts his foot down, it has to be this way. Then what can the wife do? She cannot do anything. So, generally speaking, yes, there are exceptional cases. So, when a Muslim man has been allowed to marry a Jewish woman, a Christian woman, then this is also a way of Darwa. When you have given them their due compensation, meaning even when you marry a Christian Jewish woman, and the Muslim man has to give her mahr as well. desiring chastity, not unlawful sexual intercourse, or taking them as secret lovers. No. Be honest with your relationship. Either do nikah or no relationship. And whoever denies the faith, his work has become worthless. And he in the hereafter will be among the losers. He will be a bankrupt person.